Lord, how great to praise your name, and what an amazing story to praise your name for. A story none of us could have invented on our own. The God of the universe coming here, taking a body on and suffering for our sake. The greatest being coming here and serving. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for what you did on our behalf. And we pray these things in your name this morning. Amen.
Good morning. For those who don't know me, come introduce yourself after the service. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Corey Wilde. I caused trouble here, and I'm one of the elders. And I just got back with a team from Nicaragua. So a few years ago, Gary, whose birthday is today, happy birthday, Gary, preached on connecting the dots about the song we sang, Just an Earthen Vessel, which was written in the 1800s, and he put music to that after someone gave it to him. Today I'd like to connect the dots of our Nicaragua story, the story between Nicaragua and Magnolia Baptist Church. The truths that are shared today are equally easy for me to say, applicable, thank you very much, Mike, to all of our lives. So as I share the stories, please consider how does this truth, God's truth, apply to my life when you're listening. At this point, I'd like to... ask you to rise, and we're going to read scripture for today. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we share our stories from Nicaragua today, we just ask, Lord, you would touch the hearts of each person here and those watching on the internet. And we just ask, Lord, during this time that you would heal those who need it and cause attention to be good for those who are distracted by many worries. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless our time this morning and that you would your Son's glory would be shown here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So you've likely heard this told before. We have, you know, our resident expert Greek professor here. And in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship is probably not a great translation. We're more like his masterpiece, or we are God's poem. And we are created for good works. We're made for good works. But today I'm going to focus on the phrase proetoi masin. You can all say it together if you want. Listen. I had to practice a few times. And it's made up of the two words pro, which is before, and hetoi maso, which is the preparation of, together. So having said that, we're going to look at the beforehand of our trip. We were gone just 7 days, but our trip wasn't 7 days in the making. Actually, it was 50 years in the making. So I'm going to go back to 1972. Believe it or not, I did have hair at one time. In 1971, I accepted Christ, and at that time, I was actively playing basketball. And in 1972, I remember specifically hearing a message about what God wants to use you for. And I was a high school basketball player, so I said, Lord, would you please use me to play basketball for you? Little did I know that in 1986, when I was 30 years old, I got a letter in the mail asking, would you like to play basketball for Overseas Crusade? To this day, I have no idea how they got my name or anything, other than the fact that I asked God 16 years earlier to use me to play basketball. And we played on many courts looking just like that one throughout Central America. One of the places we played was Nicaragua. And in Nicaragua, we were the first American sports team to come to Nicaragua after Reagan had created an embargo against Nicaragua. So we were big news. We were on the front page of the newspaper. We played their national team on national television. We won by 2 points. I have many other stories about that trip to Nicaragua, but we don't have time for that now. But I did want to draw your attention to what I wrote in my diary. I don't know if you can see it. I got sick twice on that trip. For those 7 days, I was sick, intestinal sickness. And their water turns off at 11 o'clock at night. So that was a pretty brutal experience for me. And I don't know if you can read my writing, but it says, recap on Nicaragua. It's a nice place to visit, but it was brutal. However, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Has God's plan ever been different than yours? In the year 2000, Rolando Mendoza, who is has been a pastor for the NAB in Gardena with a Latino church, got a note from a man in Nicaragua suggesting that he consider building a sports field in Masatepe, Nicaragua. And Jerry Henning, a former member who's in heaven now, jumped in and got involved. And the first time I heard about it, I saw the plans of a sports field in an area that was jungle and hilly. And I like what Rolando said there. I would like to bring dignity to these people. And you'll find out through my stories today that that's exactly what God has been doing since at least 2000. I didn't really think much about Nicaragua between 1986 and 2000, but God did. If we're faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Has God been faithful to you? Does our God ever sleep? He doesn't. Moving on to 2005 and 2006, many people in our church were involved in these trips to Nicaragua. We built we put the floor in of a church and just continued building on the walls of that church. Nathan was involved. He took the youth. We took young adults. Nathan was integral in doing that and serving the Lord in doing that. Again, we were reinforcing. You can see the kids, that's the athletic field that we built. God used each and every one of us to impact the lives of the people in Nicaragua. Again, each picture, I have 30 minutes of story, but we don't have time for that today. In 2010, you might see some familiar faces in there. In 2010, it was our first joint trip with a group from Indiana, so another NAB church in the Midwest. A few of their people joined us. And also, you'll see Alvin and Yiji Ko in this picture. They came on that trip. They were not members of Magnolia at the time, but God then knew that they would have a significant impact on our church today. And also the lady right there in the red shirt in the middle, she was one of my baseball or softball players at Magnolia High, and she came on the trip, and she decided on that trip that she needed to be baptized, which we did once we got back here. So God works in a lot of different ways. You'll see other familiar faces up there as well. In 2011, we had two trips. And on the first trip, there was a couple named Brenna and Hannah Weedman. You can see the picture on was that your left? Yeah. Your picture on the left of a man all bandaged up. The picture on the right is where he was electrocuted and fell off from. Two stories. He did not die. And 6 weeks later, the electricity went through his body, out his foot, and that's metal framing. And 220 volts, he had some roofing material, just like the one that's up there. And he touched the wire right above, and he fell off. Two stories, hit a tree on his way down. And the people that were there were pretty shaken. But we prayed for him, and 6 weeks later, he was walking without any aids, anything. So that was an incredible story. But when we took him to the local clinic, they didn't even have running water. So we realized at that time, man, they really need medical services in this area. Second trip, I took some people to build softball fields in Nicaragua. They had the sports field, but I was a softball coach and I don't play soccer, so too much running. And in softball, I didn't do very much running at all. I just walked back to the dugout. But anyway, so we built the field. We had an opening ceremony where I sang the U.S. national anthem to all the kids as they lined up on the baselines. It was really an incredible time. We taught them how to play softball. But also during that trip, you may not know this, but I'm an Angels fan, and I had been prior to this to every Angels opener in the existence of the team. And I realized that I had scheduled this missions trip when I thought the Angels were opening away. Well, they weren't. So I scheduled a trip in the middle of the Angels opener. So obviously I couldn't go to the opener. So I called the Orange County Register and I said, I've been to all 49 previous Angels openers, and I can't go to this one. If you'd like to know, give me a call. My number's blah, 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 blah. I hung up the phone, and in 20 seconds, literally 20 seconds, the phone rings. Yes, we're really interested in your story. I'll have a reporter call you. So that was my 15 minutes of fame. I wasn't just on the sports page. I was on the front page of the Orange County Register. And that's not the big deal about the whole thing. The big deal was they also ran that article online. And they had a donate button for our trip to Nicaragua, which was totally cool. The Orange County Register, totally unpaid for. It was really kind of an amazing thing. Excuse me. On that trip, Denise was able to give a flyer to all of the fire departments. Do you remember that, Denise? Asking for donations. And so she had a full, this is a one of my God stories today. She had a full suitcase full of pharmaceuticals and all kinds of medical gear and stuff like that. And we got to customs in Nicaragua, and you're supposed to have a letter from a local doctor requesting this stuff before you bring it in. So they flip it open. They say, "Where's your letter?" They're all looking inside this bag, and Denise is standing there going. Then they opened my bag. My bag had bases and a pitcher's plate and a home plate in it. Well, baseball is the national sport of Nicaragua. And so the guy looking at Denise's bag said, "Oh, you can close this up." And he goes over to look at my, and they're busy chatting back and forth about my bases and my home plate. But the coolest thing about those bases and home plate was the week before my trip, I just happened to pass by a dumpster because I was coach at Magnolia High School. And in the dumpster were the bases and the home plate and the pitcher's plate. So yeah, I'm a dumpster diver, I admit it. It happens. But isn't this a true statement? Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. When uncertainties are facing you, God already knows about it and is working on it. maybe even while you're fretting or sleeping. Our next trip was 2013, and we took a bunch of doctors, and our doctors had clinics. We set up clinics mostly at the church, but we also went to a local dump, which I'll talk about later. And our doctors saw 275 patients a day. That's a lot. I mean, the lines were just incredibly long, and they were seeing things like people, stuff that hadn't been treated in years, and they really enjoyed it because it was, you know, things they'd never seen. But that trip was incredible for us. It was incredible for me to watch the doctors serve with the amount of energy that almost seemed to me like would be humanly impossible. I mean, from early morning until late night, just go, 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 go. And it's almost like that was a supernatural empowerment from God. It was an amazing, amazing thing to see. There were so many ways that we served that community that God just blessed. And on a personal note, that's the trip where Brenda and I adopted a daughter in Nicaragua, which is still part of our family today. We have two grandchildren, and we just went and saw her. So that's a great story too, but again, it's a big long story and I don't have time to tell it today. So the verse made me think, or this is the verse I thought of. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. God just continued to bless and bless and bless the work in Nicaragua. There were things there that didn't exist before his plan for Magnolia Baptist Church. Many of you participated by going. Many of you participated by serving. And many of you participated by praying and sharing. Well, that's the beforehand. Now let's talk about what happened. In 2013, actually, the anniversary was yesterday, The two people on the right, those are Brandon and Hannah. Remember I mentioned them earlier? They were from Indiana. They actually decided to become missionaries down in Nicaragua. And so they opened a coffee shop. The girl next to them is our daughter, Sarah. Next to her is a man who's a pastor now. And at the far left of the picture is a guy named Hamilton. I will talk about Hamilton a little bit later. But this is 11 years this place has been going on. And one of the things Brandon said at the time is he wanted to have a place where people in the community could come and see and feel Jesus. And that'll become important a little bit later as well. So that's through 2013. We kind of had a 11-year hiatus with Nicaragua. Brent and I made personal trips down there, but our church involvement with Nicaragua kind of waned until this year. And this is our team. And one of our team members recapped it this way. I thought about how my decision was based off going... Excuse me, let me try that again. I thought about how my decision to go was based off feeling someone's presence and how that person would always get me to go to church events, and I would always say no because of work or some other excuse I had. As sad as it was, I was very glad I listened this time and went because I would have missed out on an amazing opportunity to serve and form relationships I would have otherwise never made if I hadn't. This teammate was ready to jump in and translate every time she saw a need. This allowed the missionaries already down there to focus their time on Nicaraguans rather than translating for us. She was invaluable to our team. God knew we needed her. Hebrews 10:24 says, like her friend did, let us stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So when I say that, whoever pops into your mind, please take action. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Okay, so for our four God stories, we had training to get ready for our trip. And the training was more about, instead of us going down there and being the experts and being the wealthy Americans and coming and doing for these people to make their lives richer or better or whatever, we had to recognize that we're just as broken as they are. And on a short-term mission, how much can you really do? I mean, over the years, Magnolia has done a ton down there, but in 7 short days, you're not going to change somebody's world, really. And so we went with the attitude, what can we learn from them? And so live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And they're looked at as they're not lowly, but they're looked at as lowly from a world standpoint. Nicaragua is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Never be wise in your own sight. The question is, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself today? My first story is the dump. And we partnered with a local church serving the area called La Chureca, which is the area around the dump. It's the community around the dump. And the first time we went there with Denise, you'll remember this vividly, we set up a clinic, and when we got there, we cried because kids were They were digging through the dump for food and for things to sell to get food. It was brutal to see. So I told my team, I said, team, take sunglasses because we don't want them to see you crying. We want to serve these people, but it was rough last time we were there. It was, wasn't it, Denise? Sorry about that. So this church that we partnered with has kids' meetings, and at the kids' meetings, they teach civic pride, hygiene, they encourage the kids to stay in school, and they also do neighborhood cleanup. And here's the result of their work. The picture on the left was taken when Denise and I went there. And you can see all the trash. Trust me, I have other pictures. But the picture on the right, you can see the trees line the street now. And you can see trees behind the, it's hard to see, but there's trees behind that fence. These people and the community planted 80 trees along their streets. The government got wind of it, and the government built a wall around the dump. So instead of living in squalor, like the picture on the left, they now have a community. And it's all thanks to the message that God laid on somebody's heart there in Nicaragua. And I liked what her quote said on the last slide. We live at the dump, but we are not trash. And that's the message they're teaching the kid. They're God's workmanship, right? They're God's poem. One of my team members wrote this. Working with the children and playing games with them was my favorite day. The kids were drawn to our group as they would not let go of Aaron while he played the games. These kids were more grateful and happier than any kids I have worked with at home. These kids did not need anything to be happy. After coloring the bookmarks that we gave them crayons and pieces of paper and they made bookmarks, but they didn't want to keep them. They wanted to give them back to us because they wanted us to keep what they had colored. Instead of keeping to take home with them, they wanted to share it with us. You notice what Emily does for a living? She's a child care worker, and that's what she had to say. Who taught who that day? We weren't teaching them anything. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The important things in our life is that we have God above all other things, whether we need something or whether we have something. Are your priorities in line with God's command? He is all we really need. Oops. Sorry, I must have skipped one. keep your lies free. So, yeah, he's all we really need. He will never leave us or forsake us. Story number two, Nella. Nella is a classmate of our daughter Sarah in her English program that she took in college. Nella was the number two person in the class. She's a brilliant person. Over the last 8 years, she's developed agoraphobia, which is she doesn't go out of her house. The only time she's gone out of her house every day was to go pick up her daughter a block away at school and back home, and that's it. So she doesn't go out of her house. She suffers from anxiety. And because somebody I know here at Magnolia has suffered from anxiety, I knew some exercises to tell her to do to sort of help cope with that. And so she and I have texted back and forth a lot. Anytime she gets anxiety, speaking English and having to think in English really helps her anxiety. So we have developed quite a relationship. Well, as the Lord would have it, we went to a site. You can see the palm trees in the background. That's Nella. That's not Nella's house. Believe it or not, the site we were going to, the way we got there is we drove right in front of Nella's house. And I said, wait, stop the car. So we stopped the car, and I told everybody in the car, hey, I want you to really encourage Nella. Because they were having an English class that they were going to start, and they were introducing it that night at the cafe. The cafe has a big classroom attached to it. So they were going to have an English night. And so I said, really encourage Nella to help with the English, or to come to the English night. So when we got to her house, I texted her, hey, we're out front. She knew we were coming to Nicaragua. So she comes out to see it, to see us. And the team, one of the things the team member said was, it's amazing that all you had to do was to say hi and be kind to somebody. Because throughout the day, Nella was texting with me, I don't know if I want to come. I'm thinking about coming. 2 hours before the event, or about an hour before the event, she sent me a message, I'm getting ready. She came to a room full of people, spent the whole evening there. And as a result of that, she brought her daughter. Well, we wanted to talk to Nella. Brenda and I did, and so my team took her daughter and they played Uno with her at a table. And, you know, to just look over and see all the smiles at that table was just such a huge blessing. And Nella stayed the whole time. Her husband, who's a macho Nicaraguan guy, brought her in their car, and he got out to shake my hand, and he shakes my hand, and then he gave me a huge hug. And then he looked at me with a look that said, thank you for getting my wife out of the house. It's a powerful, powerful story. You see what it says? I have not been so far from home alone in 8 years. Doing something, this isn't what our team member said, doing something as simple as saying hi to someone from inside a car when she came out of her house motivated her to come to English night, because she said the people in the car were so nice to her. Was it my idea to be nice to Nella, to tell those guys, hey, make sure you say hi? Heck no. That was the Holy Spirit touching her heart through us. We urge you, brethren, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Are your priorities in line with God's command? Oops. Take inventory of your days, and are you doing this? We urge you to encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Are you guys doing that? She also mentioned to me that she, while she was at the cafe, she felt so peaceful and relaxed the whole time she was there, in spite of the fact that it was filled with people, wall-to-wall people, who were there for the event. And I thought back to what Brandon had said, why he built the cafe, so people could feel the presence of Jesus. This is what Nella texted me after we got home. It doesn't get any better than that, I have to tell you. So if you guys want to come to Nicaragua, I'm glad to take anybody here who wants to go, if the Lord so allows it. Nella is just only the second of our three stories. We have another one. We were there for relationships, but that doesn't mean we didn't do projects. We did do projects. This one led to something special. I'm going to read from one of a team member's diary. Daisy and Renee were able to take time to talk to the mother of a disabled boy in a wheelchair as we were building the cement ramp for her wheelchair. Her husband had died exactly 1 month prior, and she was having a difficult time getting his wheelchair into the house and taking care of him on her own. Might I add that when it rained, you can see that area is all dirt. So when it rained, all the dirt ran right into where, that's their porch there, and that picture on the left in the background is their porch, and that's right where all the water ran, right to their house. Her son was born with lesions in his brain, leaving him disabled for life and unable to walk. She was grateful not only for the ramp, but for having someone who listens and wants to hear her story. She hugged everyone before she left, and we were able to pray over her. Her son does not speak. He is nonverbal, but likes it when people place their hand alongside his cheek. The mother was so grateful to have people like us and One Collective, our hosts, come together and volunteer our time doing God's work. She said she will keep us in her prayers. She really appreciates us coming to help her with the ramp for her son. She mentioned that even though she lacks some supplies, God always helps her with every necessary things in life. And because of that, she is extremely blessed. So that's my cement story. The last story, I think I have a verse there. Here we go. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our Lord and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. On to Hamilton, who was one of the first employees at Beto's Cafe. Hamilton wanted a guitar and he wanted to learn to play in a praise band. I've actually told this story to many of you and maybe even from up here, but it bears worth telling again. The guitar and the... Sarah, our daughter, called us and said, "Hey, Hamilton wants a bass guitar so he can play in the praise band." You know, and a lot of times, such as it is, Nicaragua sees us as walking ATM machines. Well, it's funny, but it's also not funny, I gotta tell you. So anyway, she called me and I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you can raise money for the bass guitar, I'll make sure it gets bought and I'll get it down to you somehow and I'll pay for the shipping." So she calls me back all excited about a week later. She raised $125. The monthly salary for the average Nicaraguan is between $150 and $200. So that's the amount of money she raised in a week from Nicaraguans. So I called my friend Frank, who actually used to play with Weird Al Yankovic, and he's a professional bass player, and he has about, I don't know, six or eight basses of all different shapes and sizes. And I said, "Frank, I need to buy a bass. What do you suggest?" And he says, "Oh, I have one." He sent me the picture of it. It's there on the left. And I said, "How much do you want for it?" "How about $125? That was in July. Whoops. Well, let me show you. So that's him playing. That's Hamilton playing his bass that Frank bought. And Frank also said, Frank's a believer, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll also throw in the case and I'll ship it to whoever can bring it down. So he shipped it to a missions team in Alabama and they brought the thing down that very same month. And so there's Hamilton playing, excited about playing his bass. This is what really blew my mind. July is when I talked to Frank. August is when that picture was taken. So I decided, I really don't know Hamilton that well. So I went to his Facebook page and started scrolling through his stuff. And there's a picture that he posted in April of the bass he wanted. That's a story. Right? The $125, the bass is the exact same bass that he asked God for. Right? I didn't put it in here, but there's a verse, I think it's Psalm 37 something. Delight yourselves in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? It's not on, I should have put it in here, but I know it. I don't do it often enough, but there you go. I put this one in instead. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. That last sentence means a lot to Hamilton because Hamilton, right after he got this bass, fell in with the wrong people and became an alcoholic. And for 3 years, off and on, he would call me on WhatsApp and talk to me while he was drunk. And I finally said, I will not answer the phone, and if I do, and I know you're drunk, I will hang up. So he quit calling me. But he had a girlfriend, they had a baby girl at 3 years old. She came to her dad. He told me this, he told me all this at the cafe in that when you saw him, the two of us together. He came to see me and he told me this story. His daughter was 3 years old and she said, Daddy, I want you to take me to church. His girlfriend had long left him, so he was a single dad with his daughter, and that broke his heart. And he's been sober for 7 years now. And he came to tell me that. And when he came to thank me for buying the bass for him. And I had the joy to look in his eyes and say, you know what? I didn't buy that bass. Your coworkers and your friends paid for that bass. And he cried. He just cried. That's Nicaragua. God knows whatever we're going through, right? And in need of. He knows, he sees. That's what Chelsea, the missionary, left me with. Those are the last words on her lip. And I thought of this verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him freely give us all things? We're children of God's kingdom, and he wants to bless us. And he's prepared work for us beforehand. I have many other stories to tell, but I don't have time today. There was a story about a man who was at the English class opening, and he was talking to one of our team members, and as is often the case, people who are there know that we go back home, and we're not going to gossip. We're not a threat. So they just start talking to us, and they tell us stuff they wouldn't tell somebody in the community. And this guy was struggling with alcoholism. He'd had some really bad experiences with American missionaries in the past. He told our team member that he had been having thoughts of suicide. So our team member prayed with him, and then he committed to join that same English class that we're all hoping Nella will go to. You wouldn't think an English class would impact people's hearts and lives, but God uses everything. He can use everything. So here are some things I'd like you to pray for. Sorry I didn't have a notes page where you could write all this stuff down, but health and safety for the one collective team that's on the ground. You can see them in the picture, the ones that aren't us up there. Pray for God's plan for Masatepe, Nicaragua. We've been there since 1986 now. Pray about your role for an upcoming trip. How does God want to use you? Support, prayer, going. I ask that you'd fervently pray that Nella makes a decision to go to the English class, that God would give her the courage to do that. I can't imagine what that must be like for her to even be considering it, but she told me she's considering it. Pray that the dump community can continue its development and that the children, especially there, will encounter Jesus through it. They want to build a park and they want to put in a library next. But they want the community to do it, not people coming from the outside. So those are my prayer requests today. And just a little window of what God's been doing in Nicaragua and primarily through this church. Will you please pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this time today, and we just thank you for the resources and opportunities to go serve you in faraway places. We also ask, Lord, that the petitions I've mentioned, that we will be faithful to ask you for those over and over, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless the people on the ground in Nicaragua. We pray that you would increase their ministry and increase their love one for another. I thank you for this church, Father, and I just pray you'd keep us faithful to you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.